Hey friends, welcome to season 3 of Tulips in Tuscany.
We're so excited you're here. I'm Steffi.
Paige.
And I'm Sarah. We're excited to dive into this next season with you, and we hope our conversations provide some great insight and support as we navigate this journey through Holland. Hello, welcome back, you guys. We're so glad to be back on the air and hanging with you all. While we enjoyed our little break and time with family, we were super excited to get back to all things Tulips in Tuscany. We have a guest with us tonight that we just know you will find insightful. Amara, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, Amara.
Steffi, do you want to go ahead and introduce Amara and tell everyone what we'll be discussing tonight, as well as how you and Amara cross paths?
Yes. So Amara is one of my dear friends. She's always my go-to when we go visit Cali. But Amara and I used to work together. We worked with kids with autism on all sorts of different skills and tasks and behaviors, etc. So she's kind of my go-to person. She also is a BCBA. So she is very knowledgeable on lots of different topics. So I thought she'd be perfect to talk about potty training.
Yes, I've potty trained many friends in my day, as well as my own. So while I don't claim to be an expert, I do have some tips and knowledge and some experience in that manner.
And I'm in the thick of it right now, so I am stoked to dive into this episode.
Definitely. I'm so excited to be doing this episode, too, because I know the girls and I have had so much anxiety, and I know Steffi and I in particular are really working on potty training. So this has been something we've wanted to discuss with our Tulips family since day one. All right, Amara, let's start with an easy question. What are some of the very first signs that we should look for to know if our kiddo is ready to start potty training?
So there are 5 signs that I like to keep in mind when you're determining whether or not your child is ready to be potty trained. And now these signs are going to be a little different than what you typically hear or read on your blogs or in those like common potty training books. And I'll explain why in the end. So the first one is going to be able to sit on a toilet for at least 3 minutes. And the idea behind that it should take at least 3 minutes to urinate or have a bowel movement. So the idea is that for your child to be able to sit on a toilet or sit down in a seated position for at least 3 minutes. The second one is bladder control. It's important for your child to be able to at least be dry for an hour in between urination. The third is in the process of or mastering some self-care skills. So this could be pulling up underwear, pulling down underwear. Again, doesn't have to be mastered. It could just be in the process of or like guided prompting, but just at least be in that mindset of starting to work on those skills. And then the fourth is having an understanding of contingencies between reward and behavior. So with potty training, there's lots of rewards. And so having that understanding of, you know, when you do something that you're supposed to be doing, you get a reward. And if you don't, you don't get a reward. It's very important. And again, that's not necessary. They can definitely learn that during the potty training process. But sometimes it's a little bit easier if they're learning not many skills at one time. So having that contingency down. And then the last one is going to be reducing challenging behaviors. So before you start potty training process, if you know that your child may have some behaviors or behaviors are going to come up, have like a solid intervention plan in place, have your supports in place. And so then that way when you're starting this new potty training process, these behaviors don't come up or you're having to work on challenging behaviors and also the challenging process of potty training all at the same time. So as you can kind of hear, like these signs are a little bit different than the common signs that you read on the blogs and the books. And according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, chronological age is not a determining factor for potty training, which is so hard to consider because I feel like society will tell you that there is an age.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's so hard because like even preschools will tell you that there's an age. So there's like some preschools you can't go to because your child has to be potty trained or not potty trained, or you have to pay more for your child to be in a class that's not potty trained. And it's so hard to like understand this concept, because society essentially is saying that no, there is a certain age. But according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, chronological age is not a determining factor. And I know for California, and this could change state by state, so definitely look into this for your own state, but your child does not have to be potty trained to start kindergarten, which is kind of like a misconception as well, at least in the public school setting. Private schools have their own rules, but if you go to a public school in California, your child does not have to be potty trained to start kindergarten.
So do they do diaper changes and stuff there? Is that like required of them, or do they just like leave them?
Oh, no. So then it would be required of them to provide a staff or a trained staff to then assist with that for your child.
That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. It varies from state to state. Now I'm so curious to see what the state of Illinois does.
Yes.
Josh was in a developmental preschool, and so I know that they don't require that for preschool or kindergarten because he's already like in that developmental program. But yeah, I was curious for kind of the gen ed classrooms, what their like stipulations were in Arizona.
So if your child is not potty trained, they can give you kind of like, I know for California, like again, I feel like all public schools are different state by state, but they have different like a 504 or a temporary IEP that they could put into place to assist with that. So definitely something to look into. But yeah, so potty training depends on child development readiness. So your child does not need to show signs of interest in potty training or discomfort when they urinate or have a bowel movement in a diaper to start, which is often another misconception that there needs to be, you know, these signs that your child wants to, you know, potty train. These are all skills that we can just build up. And like we mentioned above, to get your child ready, you can just kind of help build up these skills and help motivate them with reward systems, and things can kind of like fall into place.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. What would be some suggestions you might have to use as reinforcers? For us right now, we're using marshmallows when Tristan pees or poops on the potty, or he voids. I learned that phrase, when he voids. And it's been going well. We've had a couple successful voiding of bowel movements and urination, which has been just so exciting. We just throw a party. But what do you recommend? Is that, are we on the right track? Is that something that is helpful?
Oh, yes. Little treats are definitely helpful. And of course, reinforcers are going to be different across all children. And they may change too. When I was potty training my daughter, when she realized that she could get chocolate when she went to the bathroom, whether it was like urination or a bowel movement, she was super excited. But then she realized all of that entailed. She was like, forget it. I don't want your chocolate. I'm not doing it. I am not.
I don't need it that bad.
It's not worth the chocolate.
Not worth it. She would have an accident and just shrug her shoulders and she'd go, huh, no chocolate. Oh, well. No chocolate. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, not phased at all. So I had to dig really deep because I couldn't limit access to everything. She has these like dietary restrictions. So her diet was already pretty restricted. A lot of her treats weren't really that treat, like treats. So I thought this chocolate, like this one piece of chocolate was going to like hurt her, was really going to be really reinforceful. And she didn't, could not care. And so my daughter's favorite show was Paw Patrol. And so I kind of set it up that she could only watch Paw Patrol if she urinated or had a bowel movement in the toilet. And so that way she still had access to other TV. She could still watch some movies, but her absolute favorite, she did not have access to it. Unless she went poop or pee, and that worked for her. She would be so sad. And if she had an accident, I didn't even have to say anything. I didn't have to say like, oh, you had an accident. Oh, clean yourself up. Like there was none of these like punishment procedures, none of this like shaming. She would just have an accident and look at me and go, oh no, like no Paw Patrol. And so Paw Patrol like took care of all of it for me. Thank God for Paw Patrol.
But I always think of food. I never thought of like a TV show or something. I don't know. I just like hear reinforcer and I think of food, but like a show, a TV show, that would be a really good one.
Yeah. So we are, like I said, we started potty training with Joshy, and so he won't sit still. Like he's just very active, but he was showing signs when he would wet his diaper or poop in his diaper that he was so uncomfortable. Like he started reaching back there and trying to pull things out. Like he was so proud of himself when he does go on the potty. Like I know he wants that, but we would have a hard time just getting him to sit still on the potty. So that's been our biggest issue. So I was giving him the iPad on the potty for like 10 minutes at a time each time he sits, which then now we're having some regression issues, which I think we're going to talk about later. Right. Because he just wants to sit on the potty every 20 minutes with his iPad and not actually go potty. So now I'm having these issues and I'm like stuck in this, like, okay, how do I entertain him on the potty and get him to go potty and then give him Paw Patrol or, you know, whatever his show is at the time. And I'm just like, so stuck now.
I was thinking about that as well, because the reason why I kind of liked the Paw Patrol or like restricting like that show was that it was easy to fade out the reinforcer. Whereas food and like other things sometimes are really hard. And so when she started regularly going to the bathroom, I could just turn on Paw Patrol whenever. And then it no longer was like associated just with the potty. And so I was thinking that also, like, if you were to have an iPad, because sometimes the iPad is so crucial to, like you said, Steffi, like the distraction or staying on the potty or keeping them in the bathroom vicinity while you're potty training, which I'll talk about in a little bit as well, the importance of that. And so maybe even just restricting some of the apps that he really likes or some of like those, like if he likes a certain song on YouTube or a certain app or a certain show that he likes to watch on it, maybe put some more neutral apps or neutral stuff on it and then only allow him to have access to those like highly preferred fun videos ones. Or yeah. apps.
That's kind of what I was doing. So I picked Cat in the Hat, which isn't his favorite, but he also just freaking loves anything on TV. Like he'll sit and watch the NBA with Jor. Like he just wants to watch something on the TV, but he does love Paw Patrol and a few other shows, but I picked Cat in the Hat. So he only watches Cat in the Hat when he's sitting on the potty and it's just not like, he doesn't love it, but he's like excited to get to sit on the potty and watch Cat in the Hat. And then when he does go potty, I give him a big Paw Patrol sticker. We have like a sticker chart. And then I give him, you know, like 5-10 minutes of a show that he really wants to watch after. But like I said, it was working really great for like 3 weeks. And then now we went on vacation and I don't know if he's just like mad at us now or something, but we just have not had hardly any luck since. So let me get some good tips today.
Yep. That happens. Vacations, moving, the potty smells a certain way and they don't want to go anymore.
I know. Like so and I made factors. The mistake of not getting the same potty, but it was even after. So Jordan and I went on a vacation alone. And then came back and he like wouldn't potty for us at home. Then we all went on a vacation together and he really wouldn't potty for us. So I think we got one, but anyways. Okay. So what is a realistic answer to how often we should be putting them on the potty to go?
So this is a great question. And so I got a lot of my, like I said, I've done a lot of different potty training, like interventions and methods. It all kind of like differs across different kids. But I feel like the one thing that is fairly consistent is this like 30-minute interval. And so it's recommended to start at a 30-minute interval. And like this schedule provides the child with a number of opportunities to receive a reward for success. And it also teaches them the routine and the behaviors included in the potty training. So walking to the bathroom, pulling down the pants, sitting on the toilet, you know, urinating or not urinating. Because usually, and I'll talk about this a little bit later as well, usually when you first kind of start the potty training process, a lot of the focus at first is on urination because that's going to happen more often throughout the day, whereas bowel movements only happen like once or twice a day. And so it's harder to reinforce or wait for reinforcement for a bowel movement when those only happen once or twice a day. Urination can kind of, you know, you can give them more fluids and kind of help encourage more urination. And so by going every 30 minutes and having them sit on the toilet for just 3 minutes, allows them to have an opportunity for success and then also practice the skills that are involved in the whole potty training process. And another thing to note that the timer is for us as the caregiver or the parent. It's not a signal to the child and it's just a reminder for us when to take the child to the potty. Because if they kind of get stuck on that timer, then they'll only want to go to the bathroom when there's a timer. So that's what's really hard sometimes about potty training is that a lot of prompts can be involved and then you can become prop dependent on having to use the bathroom, which is kind of what we have to be. There's like a fine line that you have to kind of teeter across when doing potty training.
Do you recommend potty watches? Because someone I know had recommended doing the potty watch, but my son does not love the idea of wearing anything on his wrist. So we got him just like a regular little kitty watch and he hates it. So I was like, I'm not going to get a potty watch because I don't think he'll even keep it on. But do you recommend a potty watch?
Oh, yes. Definitely. If you feel like that would work for your child, potty watches are definitely great, especially when they're older. So I think potty watches are great to use when your child is older. So there's already like a potty training routine established. They're potty trained. But at that point, it's just an issue of going when they're at school.
Amar and I shared a client way back in the day who used a potty watch, and he was older. He was already potty trained, but he was going through a phase where he didn't want to stop what he was doing when he was playing with friends. And so the potty watch was really essential for him. It's just more of a reminder, like, oh, I need to stop what I'm doing and go try to go potty, because we didn't want to be like embarrassing him either. Like, hey dude, you need to go to the bathroom. Like, you haven't tried going potty in a while. So it was more of like a way to help him be more self-sufficient, I guess, without needing prompts from like an adult, but he was already potty trained. It was more just like to help him remember that he needed to go and try.
I actually never heard of a potty watch. Like, I don't know if I just live under a rock over here, but that would be something that would be so beneficial, I feel like, for my son, because he is almost five and we've got the potty training thing down, but the only time he has accidents is if doing something like really fun where he's like, I'm not stopping in the middle of this to go to the bathroom, or like gets distracted, or if he's like, he does horseback riding. So like, he just wouldn't think in the middle of that to go to the bathroom if he has to. So I feel like something like that would be beneficial maybe for him, just to remind him to go. So I'm going to look into it because I've never even heard of them. So
I'll send you the link for the one I was looking at. I had actually one close friend tell me, and then one of our mutual friends had mentioned it in one of our groups. And I was really thinking about it, but then Tristan wouldn't even keep on like a dollar store watch. So yeah, that idea just went out the window.
See, Lane does have like a medical ID that he does keep around his wrist that's got like, you know, his diagnosis. And I think it just has mine and Josh's like names and phone numbers or whatever. It's like the Red Cross medical ID. So he did keep that on for the longest time until it broke. So I feel like the watch might be a good idea.
And I love that you went with the Dollar Tree like watch first. Like, let me test this out before I spend like $50+ on this expensive thing.
No, Tristan has taught me so much. He's like, I've done so many things where I just buy like, oh, this is the therapy tool that I have to have. Everyone has just spoken so highly about this. It's so effective. So I'll go out and get it. And then for some reason or the other, it doesn't work for us. And then I'm stuck trying to like give it to somebody else or return it. And then my husband's like, what's going on? So I've learned my lesson to just make sure it's going to work for him first on the most basic level. And then if it works, figure out a way to invest in the actual item.
So there are two different methods you can do. And again, you know your child, you know your environment, you know what you're capable of and what your mindset is. And so you're going to choose which one works best for you, because both of these methods are effective. The two difference between them is it's one's going to take a little bit longer than the other, but that's okay. Because again, you're learning this and we're in this together.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Slow and steady. Exactly. I was thinking like, instead of calling it potty training, it should be called potty learning, because there's so many like little skills that are involved in like going to the bathroom that you don't really think about.
Yeah.
And then like, even sometimes when you do like a task analysis or you just like think about it, you're like, wow, like this is a lot of little things for someone to learn how to.
So when you say potty learning, it makes me feel like I'm not a failure, because I think it's so hard for me to break things down for Tristan. And when you describe it like that, thing just clicked in my mind. So thank you for saying that.
I know. It's hard. It's really hard. So potty learning, everybody's learning. You're learning, your kid's learning, we're learning to do the potty. So there's two different ways. So we have the non-invasive, which usually involves adult prompt toilet training. So that means you're going to kind of prompt your child throughout their day when to use the bathroom. So you're going to set that 30-minute timer. You're going to kind of go about like your normal routine, your normal day. When that timer goes off, you're going to go walk your child to the bathroom. you know, pull down the pants, you know, hand over hand or guided prompt, whatever prompt you need. Have them sit on the toilet for 3 minutes. If they go, they get the reward. Yay. And if they don't, you go, oh, you didn't have to go right now. Pull up the pants. And then you just go about your day. And you're going to do that for 30 minutes every day. And so the advantage to this method is that, I know, right? It's potty learning. It's a learning, a lot of learning. So the advantage to this method is that your child stays within their typical routine and there's not a whole lot for pre-planning. You kind of just set your timer, you go about your day, and that's it. The disadvantage is that this one takes a little bit longer and you'll eventually need to fade out that prompt of you prompting your child to go to the bathroom, which we can talk about a little bit later. Talk a little bit later about. And then the second method is intensive, which is going to be intense, right? So this usually involves a significant yet short-term change in your environment, in your routine, in your resources. So this is usually done primarily either in the bathroom or just out in the room outside of your bathroom. You're just going to be in like a close proximity of your bathroom. Your child is going to be just like a t-shirt and underwear. And again, you're going to start that 30-minute timer and you're going to set up activities in and around that area. And you're just going to chill all day near the bathroom. And when that 30-minute goes off, you're going to pull down the pants, do the whole routine, set them on the toilet, and then come back down. And so essentially, this is, we call this method like the bathroom party. And you're going to spend just most of your day in and around the bathroom. And then having them sit for that 3 minutes. And they've, like I said, in the book that I'm going to talk about later, like at the end, and that kind of breaks down both of these methods in like a lot more detail. This one, they said, is the most effective across all developmental delays. So not just like, not just autism, not just Down syndrome, like it's across all other ones that are pretty effective. And I think a lot of it is that pairing. It's pairing the bathroom with fun activities. It's having access to the bathroom. The reinforcers are in the bathroom. It's just, it was like a lot of focus on it. And so the kids like learn the routine of it really quickly. Another great thing to remember in the potty learning is that, and especially in the book that I read and the research I've done, is that accidents are going to happen. Because it's a learning experience. And I think sometimes when we start potty training, our whole point is to like stop the accidents from happening or like prevent the accidents from happening. But they actually want accidents to happen because then it creates a learning opportunity and it allows them to see like, oh, when I do that, I'm not going to get a reinforcer. I'm not going to, this isn't what I was supposed to do. And it's going to happen. And it's so hard.
Hold on, Amara. You just made me, like, die. You just said we want accidents to happen. This is the part of parenthood that I just – my sister, when we were little, when she was little, I was a lot older than her. We have a big age difference. So she used to rip her diapers off and make disasters everywhere. And so it was the best birth control for me growing up. I was like, this is what babies do. I don't want one. And now I've kind of like had that in the back of my head throughout parenting. And it literally, like, Steffi, your story about Joshy, my heart, like, that is like one of my biggest fears. Which is like one? Walking into the room and seeing the diaper mess.
Oof. Oh, I that have a good just, one. Oh. This happened yesterday.
So when you say it's like supposed to be messy and you're supposed to have accidents, my whole body, like, I've become physically ill. And I know that sounds really dramatic and I feel like it's really dramatic too, but like I just think of like having to steam clean my whole house because I'm just
for your baby.
I what happened, Steffi? Tell me. What happened? What happened to my Jackson?
We had Joshua, he was potty training. So we had him on the toilet and he's like kind of figure out how to hop off the toilet. And in the Cali house, we just had one of those seat toppers rather than his mini toilet, which I think he does a lot better on his mini toilet because he can rest his feet and stuff. But anyway, so he was on the big potty and he figured out how to get off and he had just pooed And he ran off and went and sat on his brother's head. Could you not? He had like a little bit of residue left over and he got it on Jackson. So I'm literally like scrubbing them both in the bathtub. Like, why? Yeah, that was a fun one. I was like, I'm so sorry. But...
I'm dead. I am deceased.
That's like Josh's new thing. He tries to like sit on Jackson like a horse and he doesn't like put all of his weight. He like squats over him. And I don't understand why he does that. Yeah, he's a little tricky. He just like squats over Jackson. And Jackson just thinks,
oh my gosh,
funny.
I miss them so much already.
There is something about poop and like babies because my daughter did the same thing. She was like potty trained and then I had my son and she like regressed and she would purposely have like pull down her underwear and have bowel movement accidents while I was nursing.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know.
Like to make you stop what you're doing.
Yes. But I have a solution. I have a solution for the accidents. I do. I'm not going to just say, let your child pee everywhere. Good luck. Like, that's not potty learning.
Something happened today with us. And like I said, we've been making progress with potty training with Tristan. And I thought it was going to go a little differently because we haven't been shaming him. We've been trying to make it really positive for him and just praising him and minimizing when he doesn't go. We just let him know, did you go poop in your diaper? We need to go poop in our potty. And then he doesn't want me to change him. So I just tell him, well, if you don't want mommy to change your diaper, then you got to go poop on the potty. But you pooped in your diaper, so now I got to change you. And then I don't give him any treats because he like will ask to see my phone while I change him or something. And I'm just like, nope, you don't get a treat for that. You don't get any rewards for that. But, you know, go on the potty. And so today I made him a smoothie and he poops in his diaper while his therapist was here because he's a sneaky little guy. He like literally can just decide. He makes up his mind that he has to poop. And then I swear it comes out in like 0.5 seconds. And so like both of us, two grown adults, were here and we didn't realize he pooped. And then I smelt it and I was like, well, it's already happened. But then he got mad at himself. And then he took his smoothie I made him and he emptied it all over our rug. And he was like, I saw the look on his face and he was like, had this like really grimace, this angry grimace that he doesn't really get because he's usually so chill. And I looked at him and he poured it out and I was like, my eyes could not believe what I was seeing. In my mind, I was like, what is happening? And then I'm smelling the poop simultaneously. And I'm like, okay, Tristan, no. And then I just picked him up and I put him in timeout with the poopy butt and everything. And I didn't even talk about the poop, but I was just like, I didn't say anything actually. I think I was just so shocked. I was silent, which anybody that knows me is like, how is that possible? So I was just floored. So that was something that happened to us recently with potty training. And I'm proud of myself after what you just said, because I didn't make it negative. I wasn't even about the poop. It was about like this huge mess with the milkshake that he made.
It was the smoothie mess, not the poop mess.
Yes, it was the smoothie mess I was cleaning up.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, it happens. It happens. And it's so, it's not even like, we obviously don't want to shame our children and we don't. I'm not saying that we do, but it is hard just to like that. There's like, when it comes to like poop and pee and it's like, I know you know better and I know you don't want to do this and I don't want to do this and why are you doing this? And it just happens. We just have those moments and we just have to kind of step back sometimes and restart and try again. So one of like, I guess like the main thing is if you're, you know, you set your the timer goes off and then you prompt, you know, your child to stand up, walk to the toilet, they pull down their underwear and they sit on the toilet for 3 minutes. Or if they urinate or have a bowel movement before that. And then if they start urinating or having a bowel movement, you stay silent while it's happening, because if you start cheering, that could like startle the muscles down there. And then if the stream will stop or the poop will stop, and then it becomes like this, like they stop. And so it's so hard, but they say to wait till they're completely done. And then that's when you do the praise and you like, oh, good job. You went pee pee or poop on the potty. You get blah, 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 blah. You know, you assist with wiping, you get off, and then they get their reinforcer and then you reset the timer. And if they don't go, so you set them on the toilet, that 3 minutes goes by, nothing happens. You say, oh, you didn't have to go, or oh, no poo-poo, no potty, no worries. And then you just take them off and then you pump them through the rest. So kind of remain neutral. There's no potty party when there's no potty.
Got it.
Yep. And that's it. And so, and if you see your child is starting to pee, so in the potty learning, potty training time, you usually just have your child in underwear, or some people do naked, but my child would not be naked at home. She like insisted on having to wear something. So you can do like stretchy shorts or underwear, just some sort of like clothing. And so you can kind of see if they start to go potty and they're not sitting on the toilet. You can do like they say to do a startle statement, not a reprimanding one, a startle statement. This is what the book said. And I was like, this is kind of interesting. So we can kind of talk about this. So if you see that your child is starting to urinate, you can say like, hurry, hurry, or pee, pee, or anything startling, loud. And then the idea is that them being startled, it will stop. And then you can guide the child immediately to the bathroom, prompt them to sit down with the hope that they'll finish.
Well, that makes sense.
In the bathroom. Yes. And so if they stop and then they sit on the potty and finish, then they get a reward.
Okay. Because
he went in the potty. But if they don't and it just stops, they're like, oh, like we'll try again next time. You just change them and then you reset. Go on with your timer.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm in this current resource. I was like, oh, I had never heard of that before. And that it made sense. I agree.
Yeah, it definitely does. So we may have covered some of this, but what would you say are some of the do's and don'ts of potty learning 101 that comes to mind right away? I know we went over some of these, right. But first thoughts, what would you say?
I would say when you're in that potty learning, potty training world, I would refrain. I'm going to restart that. When you're doing like potty learning or potty training, I would refrain from using words like, do you need to use the bathroom? Do you want to use the bathroom? Can you use the bathroom? So asking like those questions in which your child will surely answer no. And so the idea is when that timer goes off or you see that they're needing to use the restroom, you say, it's time to go to the bathroom. Let's lower your pants. Let's sit on the toilet. So you're kind of more talking them through what they're doing or guiding them to the bathroom saying like, oh, we're going to go potty now, or you need to go potty, versus asking them. So refrain from asking them, do you need to use the bathroom? Can you? Do you? So that will help them think more independently and like guide them toward that independence. And then also keeps you from having to follow through when your child tells you no, because you did ask the question. And then another do is to make the bathroom as positive and fun as possible. And if you feel like your child is starting to pair the bathroom with the negative experience, anytime you go to the bathroom, they start, you know, crying or having a tantrum, you know, non-compliance, dropping to the ground. I would take a step back and repair the bathroom with fun. And then the next one would be to don't move the forward. So that 30-minute interval, don't move forward too soon. So when accidents happen, remain calm, kind of get through it, restart, and then just keep going.
So what kind of time frame are we looking at from start to finish with the potty learning process?
It says it can take up to 2 to 3 weeks for it to be like fully understood and going independently, more so than having accidents. And I think for myself and my own experience, I would agree with as well. I would say that like around that 3 week mark is when you can, you know, start going out in public and just underwear, and you're not like crossing your fingers at every single, you know, drive or anytime you're out of your home that an accident's going to happen.
I feel like I need to like cancel all Joshua's therapy for 3 weeks and get a babysitter for Jackson so I can focus.
Right. You and I both, Steffi, you and I both. I'm like, we can't have Tristan naked because Ezra is fascinated by certain body parts and that would be really problematic for Tristan. So Tristan can't be naked like at all. So I'm like, how do I do this and make it super easy for Tristan, because the low tone makes it hard for him to get himself dressed and undressed.
Yeah.
So he still relies on us a lot to do it. And he's so independent and he just doesn't want us to do it for him, which is great because I love that about him. But then for potty training, I'm like, just let me help you.
Yeah. I think my biggest struggle is that Joshua just doesn't have any language still. So he even sign, like we've been trying to figure out a potty sign for him or something he can use. And he still really just hasn't picked that up. So he really has no way to tell us. So right now, all he does is just run back to the potty and like shakes the door when he wants to go back there. And half the time I can't tell if he actually needs to go potty or he just wants the iPad. So that's kind of been my struggle. And then, yeah, like 30 minutes. So just like, who has time for that? You don't have to hire a full-time potty trainer. Can I hire you, Amara?
Come over. I will. I'll come. I will come and do it.
Just telling me, I can't remember who it was, but someone who I was just chatting with the other day was like, oh yeah, like our daycare potty trained all three of my kids. I was like, sorry, what?
Someone told me that too.
And they said it wasn't like an extra, like it just so happened. Like obviously they're with the children every day, so they did. And I was like, God bless, man. That would have been a miracle.
I don't blame them though. That's a lot of booties to wipe.
I know.
Anytime I do like a preschool observation or a school observation, I'm like, this is why I do one-on-one because this is wild.
Yeah.
There's like six dirty diapers in this room and
that's like the story of my life every day. I swear. I feel like I change like,
It's
just ridiculous. The amount of diapers I change by 10 a.m. I'm like, oh, this is literally my job is wiping little human butts. All day.
Is when they go back to back and I think I've just changed a poopy diaper because Tristan's like clockwork. During breakfast, he'll do like a squat in his little Stoke Trip Trap high chair, and he'll pull up in a squat, and I'm like, no. And then we try to like rush to the bathroom, but he's so quick. And then I'll change him, and then Ezra will go usually like right in the pack and play as I'm changing Tristan, and you're like
deja vu. Didn't I just do this?
Yeah. One day I think I counted it was like 4 back-to-back poopy diapers were just like – and then I didn't even get where I was supposed to go that day. So it can be overwhelming for sure. So Amara, can you give us some pointers for mom or dad while we're going through this journey? Because I feel like it can be so overwhelming.
Definitely. It is overwhelming. I would say don't rush it. I know that's so easy to say because you just want to get it started. You want to get it done, but it takes time because you're really teaching a skill and not just one skill, but like I said, so many little skills into one. There's communication. There's self-care skills. There's listening to their bodies and recognizing this feeling in their body that they need to now pair an action with it of walking somewhere and then sitting on the toilet, going to the bathroom in the toilet, and then doing all of those steps after. And then we haven't even talked about washing hands. Like that's a whole other skill component that goes into this. It's such a huge skill. And I feel like there's so many books out there that are like potty training in 3 days. And I mean, I can't learn a skill in 3 days. I can't break a habit in 3 days. So I don't know why these people think that other like kids can, because I don't know, maybe it works for some people, but I think it's a whack.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean,
3 days, how about 3 to 4 months?
Right. And I think it's so hard because we see these books and we hear people talk about them or we'll read a blog and it's like, well, my child, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but that's not reality. And I really don't think that it's fair to expect our children to learn such a big thing in such a short amount of time. So give yourself grace. And when it feels like it's too overwhelming, stop, take a step back. Write some notes down. What's working? What's not working? When are the accidents happening? Where are they happening? And don't be afraid to start small. Maybe just work on reinforcing pulling up and pulling down underwear. Maybe just start reinforcing sitting on the toilet. And then you can just kind of modify it as needed and just take your time and build up those steps. Yeah.
That's a really good, really good like recap of everything there. So I actually was reading a neuroscience book and it was talking about building habits and training your brain not to resist new habits and positive habits and how the elasticity in your brain works. And it said it could take up to 6 months of doing something for your brain to release resistance to it. For example, working out or meditating in the morning or journaling or just getting in a really good morning routine. And I thought that was pretty wild because we're talking about – this was about neurotypical, like, adults creating positive habits. And so for adults to do something in 6 months, I thought, wow, I'm expecting a child with different needs, and now my son has Down syndrome and autism, and I'm expecting him to do this by the end of summer, which I thought was a lot of time. But then after reading that, I was like, maybe I'm like really just putting a lot of pressure on him to do this. And then I know some people in our community have kids that are 8 and 10 years old that haven't been able to successfully potty train. So for me, I think it's just like a lot of pressure that I put on myself to do that with Tristan. And then reading this book about neuroscience and stuff, I realized that even adults struggle with just creating something as simple as a positive morning routine. So it kind of put it in perspective for me.
Definitely. I totally agree.
So my biggest issue for my little guy is the car. We are literally in our car all day long, and we live pretty far from all of his therapy. So, I mean, we're talking like 45 minutes in the car. And for the most part, he has kind of got it down now. But he still, when he does have accidents, they're usually in the car. So what kind of advice do you have for someone who's constantly on the go with their little? I will take the blame. I feel like I've been an enabler, and I'll always like put a pull up on him. But it is just obviously that's not really helping him. And then I feel like I'm just confusing him. So
for sure. Oh, I totally get that. I would suggest a portable kid potty. And so I think the brand is Onyx. It's OXO. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, they have a bunch of different. I know what brand you're talking about. Yeah.
It's like they have like everything. So they have like this porta potty, and it's like very simple. It actually even folds up. So you could even fold it up when you're not using it and put it like under a seat or in like a little cargo space in the back. And it has like these bags that kind of go around it. And so you.
Okay.
Bag in, and then you can do your business, and then you would just tie up the bag when you're done.
Okay.
And then you can either put them like in a like a larger bag, or you can throw them away, you know, at a when you get home or in a bathroom. I actually have a friend who has one of these, and she has even used it. One time she said that she's used it more than her kids have. Like public restrooms are disgusting. And so, and I was like laughing at her. I'm like, and she goes, I don't want to take my kids and my shopping cart to go to the bathroom at Target. Like, no thanks. So
yeah.
She actually uses it in her, for herself too. She says it like comes in so handy. So, when I heard that, I immediately thought of this little porta potty, and I can link it for you guys so you guys can see it.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Bag, yeah. And you just refill the bags. And so you can get like a little, if you're on the road more often, you could probably get like a little plastic trash can or something to kind of put them in, or maybe a bigger bag. So then that way you don't have like pee bags rolling around in your.
Yeah, in my car.
In your back of your car. Yeah. So if.
I think I just pulled it up. It's OXO.
Yeah.
And then they have. Okay. They have one with the. There's like a bag that goes over it. I'm trying to.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. And so it
just goes over it.
They've thought of everything. Okay.
And that looks pretty affordable too. That's like a really good option. Cause I was thinking to just, when you said portable potty, I was thinking about like the mini potty, just bringing that. And then I was like, well, what do I do if he goes in it?
Yeah.
But this makes so much more sense.
Pack it up, and you can like, it's so nice too, because you can, before you go into a store, you can kind of just like, or, you know, go to one of his therapies, you can prompt him to use it before going inside.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and again, it all goes back to like a reward system too. So maybe you have a special treat in the car you can have access to, or, you know, you have some snacks in your purse or a sticker. And so when they use the toilet, or the little porta potty in the back of your car, they can also have like a little treat with that too. So then they start thinking like, oh, when I try to use the potty, or when mom asks me to use the potty before or after we get in the car, I can get a little treat.
Okay.
That's hard too. Just like introduce something new. It's like, this isn't a potty. Like this isn't, we're not in a bathroom. We're in the car.
Right.
And so pairing like a reinforcer with that for even just trying something new and then being successful with it.
I would say that was probably my biggest challenge, is just knowing that he's always going to be in the car. And I feel like that's so hard to explain to him or for him to understand. And then my other question for you regarding my son is, so he's been potty trained, I want to say maybe like we started it 3. So he has Fragile X syndrome and autism. And our genetic counselor has kind of reminded me a lot of children with Fragile X weren't potty trained till later. So that was pretty early that we started getting him potty trained. And he did work with his ABA therapist. She's the one who actually helped me potty train him. And anyways, we were successful and then COVID happened and we totally regressed because he just got way too comfortable being at home and on the couch and he wasn't getting up and using the potty. And we just had a huge regression. Then he kind of got back into it and it's somewhat been smooth sailing, but we still keep a pull up on him at night. And again, I'm the enabler here. I'm like, well, I don't want to have to clean sheets every morning. Like it's easier to just put a pull up on, but he's going to be 5 in July. So I'm like, at what point do I just pull the plug and just not have him in a pull up?
Yeah,
that's a great question. So the AAP. So back to the good old AAP. Overnight training is a combination of physical maturity of the bladder and then the motivation to stay dry. And so some children will start to like spontaneously stay dry overnight. In that case, you can kind of just like reinforce like, oh, you know, you're dry this morning. Good job. And here's a sticker. But you don't have to necessarily do overnight training until the age of 7. So you definitely still have some time because it's not until over the in like again, I feel like especially like with pediatricians, sometimes they're like, are they doing this at this age, at this month? And then coming from a child and development psych major, a lot of these are all, it's like a scale or a spectrum, if you will. Like nowhere is it like on this time does your child need to be doing this. There's always a scale, there's always a spectrum for it.
Yeah.
And so they say around the age of 7, that's when the bladder starts to becoming more mature. Not that like overnight magically at 7 years old your child's like bladder muscles are mature. It's like during that time they start to get more mature. And then that's when they're physically able to hold their bladder for that long period of time. And so because bedwetting prior to that age is still within like the realm of typical behavior for kids. And for some kids also, it can even go into like later, not adulthood, later elementary age. So like that 10, 11, there could be some medical concerns in that. I guess there's a hormone that sometimes can be overpopulated in the body.
So I was a bedwetter until I was 11 or 12, I think. And my issue actually was that I was such a heavy sleeper that I wouldn't wake up. Like my body just wouldn't tell me to wake up. We have pictures of my dad like holding me by the feet, like when I'm asleep and stuff, just like, cause I wouldn't wake up. I was just such a heavy sleeper that I just like didn't wake up. And so for some reason, as a bedwetter, I also think that some of it might be hereditary. I don't know. Like my grandma was also a bedwetter, which is interesting. So we're like saying maybe it like got passed down. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. So there are some hormone fluctuations in the body that can cause that. And so you could definitely get that checked by your medical provider to run some tests. And then I also worked with a friend back in the day, and he was a bedwetter and he was around the age of 10. And we bought him like a pad. So there's like a little pad and then like a little clip that like attached like the top of his underwear. And when it got wet, it would beep really loud and it would wake him up. And then, so he was still having the accident, but it was on a pad. So it was a little less to clean up for mom. And then, you know, he would change out of his wet underwear and stuff, but then he was already awake. So then we would prompt him to try to use the bathroom. Yeah. I say we, but it was mom because this was at night. So mom would prompt him to use the bathroom. And then over time, that waking up and being alerted that he was going to the bathroom was like clicked in his brain. And so then he started waking up on his own to use the bathroom and waking up to relieve himself. And this was even when mom was, you know, because parents, we sometimes go to bed later than our kids. So mom would like kind of wake him up and guide him to the bathroom and have him go. But he was still having like accidents between like 2 and 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And so the bell / the pad kind of helped train his brain to.
That's kind of what I had to use too. It was actually, it sounds weird. It was a vibrator, basically. It was this like square magnet thing that you'd clip onto the side of your underwear. And when it would sense anything wet, it would vibrate or like buzz, like it would make like this vibrating buzz noise and it would wake me up. And it was literally the only thing that would wake me up. And I kid you not, it potty trained me at night in like 3 days. Like all of a sudden just like clicked me out of it, because it would actually wake me up as soon as it sensed any wetness. And kind of like you said, it like almost would startle me that I'd stop and then run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
My cousin got gave us a recommendation for that. It's the one that she recommended was called Wet Stop.
Okay.
And it's like a buzzer, but I haven't used it yet because I'm so not sure what to do with Tristan because of having the low tone, and I don't want to scare him too much. And
he's still learning during the day.
So helpful.
Yeah,
he's still catching on, but I honestly think he just isn't motivated and not interested because we change his diaper and he just lives the life. Yeah. So he's like, what's my motivation for actually having to stop playing and going to do this?
We have two more little resources for on the go with potty training and potties. On Amazon, they have these huge toilet seat covers that essentially cover the entire toilet. They are amazing because my little one will pull down her like shorts and her underwear. And then sometimes before I bought these, like the back of it would rub against like the front of the toilet and I would just like die a little bit. And then like pinch, like the sides of the toilet because the toilets are so, and this toilet seat cover covers the entire toilet. So no matter where they touch or what they do, they're touching paper and they are amazing. Amazing. So that is that. And then my last resource before we kind of wrap up, because there's so many topics that I wanted to cover and go over, but I wasn't able to for like the sake of time. And because everybody's has, you know, different challenges that they're going through. But the book that I got a lot of my information from, which I really wanted to make sure that I had a resource, so then someone, if they wanted to, they can buy the book or reference it. And then that way they wouldn't have to just keep listening to the podcast over and over and over again, trying to find that one little snippet of something they wanted to hear.
I can put it in the podcast notes.
Yes. It's Toilet Training Success, A Guide for Teaching Individuals with Developmental Disabilities. And it's by Frank Cossier. And he's a PhD and a BCBA. And what I love about this book, not only does it give you like the tips and stuff that I talked about, but it also talks about bowel movement training, which we kind of really focused a lot on today, was the urination, overnight training, what to do with regression, request training. So how to implement and start putting in like how to request to go to the bathroom. And they had like quick answers. It was just a really good resource. They had one that was like what to do if your child has a fear of eliminating in the toilet or realistic or ritualistic patterns with pooping. There's just a lot of good information and troubleshooting and how to troubleshoot if you're having problems with the interval and things like that. So highly, highly recommend this resource if you're wanting more depth information on those different
I'm gonna have to look at that.
I'm going to definitely look at that because Tristan definitely has some ritualistic things he does when he has to poop. And he does this little froggy squat is what we call it. And he literally looks like a little froggy. And anytime he does that, I'm like, hey, what's going on over there? Let's go sit on the potty. And then he's already went in his diaper. So I would be very interested in reading that book as well.
You're going to have to try the startle page.
I know. Yeah. I'm going for it tomorrow. I will let you know how it goes.
Like feeling motivated tomorrow to sit them on the potty more.
Yes. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I definitely feel relieved hearing some of our stories and just even getting to share some of what we've been going through. So I hope you all were able to get questions answered that you might have needed when it comes to potty training. So we're going to take a quick look at some of our sticker questions and have Amara answer some. So, Steffi, why don't you pick a few and let us know?
Okay. So this is happening with mine. So here's one that's similar with Joshua. So it says, what do you do if your child was doing well and then started regressing on potty training? So like Josh, he was going potty every single day, at least once or twice a day. We'd get like the occasional poop. Like he was doing amazing and he was so proud of himself. I was like, oh, we don't have hardly any diapers that we're changing anymore. This is so nice. And then we went on vacation, came back. And then I was like, holy moly, we're going through every freaking pull-up and / diaper that he owns. And he's just stopped going like very, very rarely.
When the regression starts, I would definitely kind of look back and see if there's any changes that have happened, which Steffi, you mentioned that there were some changes. You and Jordan went on vacation, and then you guys all as a family went on vacation. And so what I would do when a regression starts is go back to not necessarily the entire beginning. You don't have to go all the way back, but I would definitely start repairing the bathroom with those reinforcers, change the reinforcers up a little bit, make the bathroom kind of fun and exciting again, and then be as frequent as possible. So maybe start at that 30-minute timer, have them sit down and really try to spend a day trying to capture the successes. So they kind of start getting back into that rhythm and that routine of like, oh yes, this is what I do. I pee in the potty and I get the reinforcer, or I pee in the potty and it feels better. I'm not in my pull-up. I'm not in my diaper.
Got it. That's a good idea.
Okay. So one question that I kind of really want answered to, and I see it on here, is what kind of potty training undies or pull-ups do you recommend?
So I recommend the good old cheap underwear you can get like at Target or Walmart. I always say to start with the thin cotton ones first, because then they can kind of really feel the accidents. If they do happen, they're easy to pull up and pull down typically.
Is that going to leak onto the carpet?
It can. So the thought is, and kind of hard because obviously we are all like busy moms and we're the ones that are doing a lot of like the potty, or busy moms and dads doing the potty training. Whereas I don't think this Frank guy, he's definitely a PhD, he's a BCBA. So he thinks very like technical about it. And so his thought was like, if you're doing the potty training process and you're in it and you're with your child, you're going to catch them having that accident. So you can kind of help prevent it. And the idea is that you're close enough to the bathroom that it won't like make a huge, huge mess because you are like so in the potty training mindset. And
I like, think Frank is very ambitious because it will definitely make a mess all over my house.
Exactly. So he's very ambitious. So in the beginning, because I feel like the pull-ups are definitely confusing. It really are. And maybe they do work for some kids, and you might just have to kind of see how it works for your child. And I think that goes back to like, I always think back on like pacifiers and bottles. There are hundreds of different types of pacifiers. There's 100 different types of bottles. Why? Because one didn't work for one, and then somebody else made another one. And I feel like that's the same thing kind of with like underwear and potty training. And you go to like Bye Bye Baby, and there's like 50 different potty seats, and you're like, which one do I buy? And you kind of have to just fill out what is like, what do you think is going to work best for your child? Frank will say there's a right answer, but I say in the real world, there's not a right answer. It's whatever works best. Some it's those cheap little flimsy Target underwear. And then others, it's like the thicker training underwear pants. They're a little thicker and they kind of, they're hard to explain. They're like underwear, but they're a little thicker.
Yeah, it's almost like they have like a cloth diaper insert inside it. Yeah. I have so many different potty training random items because I really, really want to do it by the end of summer. So I'm going to actually experiment because we've just been doing pull-ups. So maybe I'll experiment with some different underwear and see if we have a little bit of success in. I will call you guys and have a mental breakdown if there's pee all over my house.
Rest in peace,
like
carpet.
Little idea. I did have a little quick idea that I thought about for your independent son is maybe getting those little underwear, but getting them a little big. So then that way they're easier to kind of, and then even if they're kind of falling off a little bit, you can maybe like close pin it or clip it in the back. So then when he needs to go, you kind of just like unclip it and then he can kind of fall down, or he can more easily pull them down or push them down.
That's such a good idea because
being snug.
Yeah, he really just wants to do everything himself. And even if he can't actually do it, he still tries. So I try to let him have that independence. I think that's a great way for me to give him some independence back.
Yeah. Just buying them just a little bit bigger and allowing them to kind of, you know, fall off a little bit, give him some of that. You can't see my hand movements because it's a podcast.
She's demonstrating.
I love it.
You hear them.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this was super insightful. I'm feeling motivated to try to get Josh back on the potty and back into a routine tomorrow. And that is about all the time that we have. But Amara does have an Instagram page. She also has like an advocating. Is it an advocating page?
I do. Yes. Girl, I haven't posted on that thing in so long.
Well, now you're going to have to go on there and do like a potty training sticker or something like that. But yeah, so you guys can give Amara a follow. If you ever have questions, you're welcome to shoot her a DM and ask her questions. I'm sure she would be more than happy to answer your potty training questions for you. And so we are so excited for this next season. We hope that you enjoyed our first episode as we jump back into the podcasting world. We really love it if you guys would help us spread the word by sharing our podcast with your friends and family. And we want to thank all of you for following along on this journey. We know some of you have really stuck around with us in season one, and we so appreciate all of you. If you're interested in doing a takeover, please reach out to Sarah or our Tulips in Tuscany page, and we will get back to you. We're always looking for new takeovers. And yeah, we're just so thankful that you guys are here. So we hope that you all have a fantastic night. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.